Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we have been studying the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers and in the body of believers. We have taken a number of different passages and we have considered these very, very carefully, trying to discern exactly what we can expect in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the body of believers, and in our work in the world, for that matter. And as we have studied these passages of Scripture, we've tried to take a number of these different passages and study them in a very general way. We haven't tried to dwell at length upon any one topic, but we have considered the wide variety of the ways the Holy Spirit works in our lives and in the body of believers. And I trust that this has been profitable to you. In this study, which we began a couple of messages ago, we are now considering topical studies where we delve more deeply into some of these subjects. And we really try to understand exactly what God is teaching in giving us the teaching on these subjects of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so I will be considering in this message and in the ones to come a number of different subjects that we can talk about, subjects which have to do with the topic of the Holy Spirit. For instance, we began to study the ministry of the Holy Spirit in giving and using spiritual gifts in our own individual walk in the world and in Christian life with other believers. And this subject of gifts is one that's going to take several messages, but I want to continue it today. Now, we have already discussed some of the lists of the gifts. We talked about some of the warnings that we need to heed as we come into the subject of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We talked a little bit about false teaching on the subject. And then we took four different passages of Scripture. We took Romans chapter 12. We took 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. We took Ephesians chapter 4. And we also took 1 Peter chapter 4. And in these four passages, there are lists of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The one in 1 Peter, of course, is a very brief list, only two. But the other lists are a bit longer. And as we discuss these lists of the gifts, we were trying to talk about also the nature of the churches to whom these lists were given. We noted that only the Corinthian church had a real problem with these gifts, and a very serious spiritual problem, in fact. They were very selfish people, they were very worldly and carnal people, but this was apparently not true in the Roman church and in the Ephesian church and in those churches to whom Peter was writing in 1 Peter. They were spiritual people. And so in the case of the Roman people, the Ephesian people, and the people to whom Peter was writing, he was writing for their encouragement and their uplifting. In other words, he was not rebuking them, he was not correcting them. He was simply instructing them so that they would understand what the gifts were and how they could best be used in the fellowship of the body of believers. Now, as we come into the subject of the gifts again, I want today to begin to talk about the meaning of the terms that identify the gifts. There are a number of different terms used, and I want to identify these terms and describe them a little bit to you. We'll be moving a bit slowly through this long list of the gifts from the four books. First of all, I want to talk about the word of wisdom. This is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, the word of wisdom. Now, this is a gift of speaking or communicating God's spiritual wisdom. The subject of wisdom is a very important subject in the Bible. It's first mentioned, we see it in the book of Proverbs. The first eight chapters repeat this phrase, wisdom, again and again and again. But this is also something that we see in the New Testament. We see it a number of times, for instance, in the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, the wisdom spoken of here either has to do with the new revelations of the truth given in that day, or it can rather refer to the whole body of revealed truth given through the ages. In other words, it may be wisdom in understanding the Old Testament that was already given. It wasn't something new in that day. Or it may be wisdom in understanding new revelations that God has given in that day. And so it can refer to either thing. It's the understanding, the correct understanding, of the things that God has given, either in the past or even in that day. Now, we note that the word wisdom, again, is one of the main themes of the book of Corinthians, because they were dealing with a society where wisdom was very important. Worldly wisdom, earthly wisdom, the wisdom of men was very important. There were great scholars, there were great philosophers, even in Corinth and in the Roman Empire there, especially in the Greek part of the Roman Empire. And these were great men, great thinkers of their day, but they were only human. They did not possess God's own wisdom, and they had no ability to understand the things of God. So we notice that this wisdom is contrasted in 1 Corinthians, especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, with the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of the world. Now, the word of wisdom would be the special gift given through the Holy Spirit for the revealing of revealed truth as the basis and the object of the faith of the believers. And this is very important to understand. In other words, the wisdom that God gives is for building us up and for establishing and stabilizing our faith and our stand for the Lord. It's very important that our faith be a correct faith, that we not be in error in any means or any way in our faith, and also that we are willing to take a stand for it because we stand firmly on its foundations. And so we notice that the wisdom here apparently has to do with this special gift given through the Holy Spirit for the revealing of revealed truth. Now, another thing we notice about this gift of the word of wisdom, and that is that there were only four books written in the New Testament when 1 Corinthians was written. James was written in 45 A.D., Galatians in 48 A.D., 1 and 2 Thessalonians in 52 and 53 A.D. And it's possible, and probably it's going to be true, that none of these books were actually distributed outside the area to which they were directed. In other words, the more distant churches didn't even have these books. They had never seen these books. So it's possible that the people in Corinth, people in Rome, and in other places had never seen any other book of the New Testament other than the book written to them, or the books written to them, because Corinthians had two, Thessalonians had two, like that. But they had not seen any other book. So none of the New Testament, except the books written to them, was available to them. They had no knowledge of God's truth in the New Testament. And so they needed these revelations from God. Now, in chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, when Paul speaks of the mysteries of God, these seem to be the heart of this wisdom belonging especially to the apostles themselves. I want to mention the word mystery is mentioned in the book of Ephesians and also in Colossians, and it usually has to do with Christ being in them, Christ himself, or some such thing as this. But he uses this term mystery, and it's the very heart of the wisdom, that God is revealing his mysteries in that day, and in our day, of course, God is revealing his mysteries through the revelation. Now, he doesn't give new revelations today, but he did in that day. We also note that while revelations from God were freely given to the apostles in that day, especially for the writing of the New Testament scriptures, once the apostolic age had ended, and this is a very important truth, and the New Testament had been completed, there would be no new revelations given from God. In other words, his word would be complete. The book of Revelations, the last chapter, seems to indicate that there would be a curse upon anyone who would add to or take away from the revelations God had given. And so when we hear in our day that someone has received some new revelations from God, they're certainly not speaking from God at all, because God's word is now complete in the word of God itself. In the New Testament, we have everything we need to know. It meets every need in our lives. There is no question that we could possibly ask that would not be answered by God's revealed word. Therefore, anyone claiming to be receiving new revelations after that time would be a false teacher. and his teachings would be contrary to the scriptures themselves. So the first thing we noted was the word of wisdom. Now the second gift is the word of knowledge, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. Now this is the gift of speaking or communicating spiritual knowledge by both knowing and understanding the revelations of God in the Old and the New Testament, and then being able to effectively and spiritually communicate this knowledge to others who lack this knowledge. Now, this is not necessarily receiving new revelations from God. Rather, it's the idea of knowing and understanding the revelations that have been given, and then effectively and spiritually communicating this knowledge to others. Now, this knowledge was given, and we're going to talk about this gift in a little while, this knowledge was given to spiritually mature teachers in the assembly of believers, those who had this gift of teaching. The knowledge was given to them, they would understand the scriptures clearly, and then they would have the ability, the gift of communicating this knowledge to other people. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Now it's clear again that no new revelations were given to these teachers. In other words, this gift is not especially the gift of receiving new revelations. Rather, it's the gift of imparting new revelations to others, understanding and then sharing with other people. They needed this gift to effectively communicate without error the truth that God revealed to others as God helped them to understand that truth. And we need the same gift today. I want to emphasize this truth again and again. We need this gift of knowledge, or this word of knowledge. And it's a very, very important gift that we need from God, because it's very important that we correctly understand the Word of God as we study it, and then that we have the ability to communicate it to others. Now, I want to emphasize, though our situation today with our completed scriptures is different from the situation of that day, this gift is still present today in the ministry of those who are gifted as teachers. How we thank the Lord for these teachers. We don't exalt them. We don't somehow glorify them. They themselves are to have a humble attitude with this gift of teaching. But we rejoice that God puts among us people who are gifted with the gift of understanding and communicating the Word of God. And we profit from this, and we need this in our local churches, in our bodies of believers. And as we study the Word of God with these teachers, then we ourselves also may have this gift and someday be used of God to impart this teaching to other people. There is this ministry of sometimes preparing by a teacher, preparing us for the ministry of teaching ourselves. We may have the gift of teaching, but not yet really have the gift of understanding as we should. And so these teachers can help us in many, many ways, and we thank God for them. So it's my prayer again, as we have studied, as we in fact have begun to study, these gifts of the Spirit and the way they're used in these passages of Scripture. It's my prayer that we may understand what gifts belong to us and what gifts do not belong to us, and that when God gives us gifts, we may use them with all our hearts to the glory of God in the name of the Lord Jesus. May God bless you and keep you each one.